The reading is written in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 4, and is to be found on page 1082 in the Church Bible. John, chapter 14, verse 4. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Andy. Let's pray. Father God, as we look at this passage with some very familiar words, I just pray that you will give us open ears, hearts and minds to hear what you have to say to each one as you challenge and encourage us this morning. Amen. If you've got the Bible, you might want to have this passage open in front of you as we go through it together. It's page 1082 if you've already closed your Bibles. So we're continuing our sermon series, working through the Gospel of John. And there may be some of you sat there thinking, hang on a minute, we're skipping some verses from where Daniel ended last week. Well, if you cast your mind back a couple of weeks, that's when we started the series where Ollie started with those first three verses of chapter 14. So we're not skipping anything, we've just done it in a slightly different order. So we explored at the start of the series the need that there's no need for us as Christians to worry because there is a room for us in our Father's house, which Jesus is going to prepare us for us and will take us there. It's worth remembering that this conversation was happening in the upper room. Judas has left, as we heard last week, and it wouldn't be long before Jesus would be betrayed by him, then arrested and ultimately crucified. This conversation was just between Jesus and his disciples. There were no crowds to distract them, a chance for Jesus to share with his followers. And we pick up the conversation with the disciples being a bit confused and uncertain about the future, not only where they are going, but also who Jesus really is. Imagine their confusion as we heard in the passage last week. Jesus had just told the disciples that he would only be with them for a little while longer and that where he is going, they cannot go right now. And now he's explaining that where he and they will be going and how they're going to get there. So no wonder Thomas is a bit confused when he says to Jesus, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? This passage contains, I think, one of the most familiar verses in the Bible. When verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So we're going to explore what Jesus meant as he said this, and as we look at the rest of the passage, what that means for us today. So let's start by looking at those I am statements. We're going to start by looking at I am the way. Now, I was on a training course last week in Nottingham, and when I arrived at the venue, we were told where to go, and it went something like this. Go up the stairs, there's only one door in front of you, go down the corridor, then there was something about on the right, something else on the left. Coffees and pastries were definitely on the right, I remember that one, and something about carrying on round to the left, and so on. And as we're going up the stairs, I turned to one of my colleagues and said, I got lost at the bit at the top of the stairs. Do you ever find that? You ask for directions from someone you invariably end up forgetting what they said. You go wrong, you ask for further help, or you just completely get lost. That's not what Jesus means here when he says, I am the way. He's not the map or the instructions. He is the way. I hadn't really thought about that before. Do you find that a particular familiar Bible verse just trips off your tongue? You don't really think about the meaning of it. It's one of the joys of preparing a sermon is the time I spend just dwelling in a particular Bible passage and how God reveals new things to me. Here, Jesus says, I am the way. Not just I'll tell you the way or I'll direct you to the way. I am the way. Jesus is the way to a meaningful life. He doesn't just give us directions and send us on our way. He shows us. He accompanies us through the gift of the Holy Spirit. Come, he says, follow me. I'm going that way. I'll show you. I'll walk with you. A few years ago, I was on the tube, and a lady asked how far it was from Victoria Station from the Underground, and she was worried she was going to miss her train and didn't know where she was going. So I told her, don't worry, my train is before yours, and I know I'm going to get mine. It's not far. Then I found out her train was going from the same set of platforms. So I just said to her, don't worry, just follow me and you'll be fine. So we were off the tube as we came into Victoria, up into the station, making our train with minutes to spare. So much easier to take someone with you than just point them in the right direction. And so it is with Jesus. He doesn't tell us the way. He shows us the way. He not only prepares the way, he is the way, the only way to heaven, to eternal life with God. But even more than that, because Jesus is not just our guide, he himself is the way. Perhaps he is saying that he will walk with us and show the way. But when we get tired, he'll carry us if that's what it takes. But what does that mean for us today? Well, part of our task as Christians is to help show each other and those who don't know Jesus the way. In the book of Acts, early Christians were sometimes called followers of the way. And that's what we are. Because we know Jesus, we know the way. We believe in him, we trust in him, we follow him. And therefore, we know the way, or at least we should. But what does that mean for how we live? Well, our lives should show it. We should live our lives in a way that people can see that what we believe is worth following. They can see that we know the way through this confusing world, not because we have a map, but because we have a faithful guide. The one who alone can show us the way, because he alone is the way. That in following Jesus, people can see that we trust him for our needs. We turn to him when times are hard. We know his peace and know he is with us always. So let's move on to the second of Jesus' claims. I am the truth. Notice again that bold statement. Jesus doesn't say, I will tell you the truth or I will teach you the truth. No, he is the truth. Truth is a recurring theme in John's gospel. We go back to the first chapter in verse 14. It says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." And then in chapter 8, verse 31, Jesus says, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And finally, in John 18, verse 37, when Jesus is on trial in front of Pilate, he says, "In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." Jesus speaks the truth. He guides us to the truth because he is the truth. And by his truth, we will be set free. But what does he mean by all of this? Well, one thing he means is that through Jesus, we learn about the truth about God. I'm sure we've all read stories of people who have rejected God or have set out to prove he doesn't exist, only to actually find out the opposite. Scientists are led to the truth that this universe can only have been formed by an amazing creator who is God. Then when we look in the Old Testament, the prophets teach us about God. We can see in the history of God's people glimpses of truth of God's purpose for this world and for us. We can see pointers to the truth that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the truth. He is the only perfect human, the only one who what he thinks and says is always true. Knowing that should encourage us to trust in him. When Jesus says he's going to prepare a room for us, we know that he is speaking the truth. The very first verse of chapter 14, which we looked at a couple of weeks ago, says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." And that should be a great comfort to us, particularly when times are hard, because we know Jesus is the truth and only tells the truth. When you think about it, Jesus is the way that we learn the truth about God, because he and the Father are one. When we learn about Jesus, we are learning about God the Father, the creator of the world. And the more we learn about Jesus, the more we learn about God. Jesus is the truth who teaches us the truth about God. And then we come to the last statement, that Jesus is the life. Notice again, Jesus doesn't say, "I'll give you life." He says, "He is the life." Life is another recurring theme in John's gospel. There are 39 references to life throughout the gospel, from chapter 1 in verse 4, where it says, "In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind." And of course, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." And then through the various I am sayings, we learn that Jesus is the water that gives eternal life. He is the bread of life, which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. He is the light that means we will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. He is the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep and who came that we might have life and have it abundantly. And then the very last verse of John's gospel is, "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." Jesus is the life. And believing in him gives us life, not just life after death, eternal life in our Father's house, but life now, a life filled with joy, peace, and love, even when times are hard, because we know Jesus is with us, showing us the way, showing us that he will never abandon or leave us. And we know that because he is the truth. He speaks the truth. So Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. And then he goes on to say that no one comes to the Father except through him. That's a bold statement, isn't it? And a challenging one, especially in today's society. We live in a world where anything goes, a world where my truth is more important, more true than your truth. And I will take offense if you don't agree with me. So holding true to this statement can be hard. The only way to God the Father is through Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. That is the only way we can become Christians. It is knowing this that should encourage and challenge us to share the good news with others, to worship and give thanks if we know Jesus already. As one commentator, Josh Moody, writes, "There is no other way. It is a miracle of miracles that there is any way back to God at all from the dark paths of sin. And it is only through faith in Jesus himself. If Jesus is who he says he is, how could he be anything other than the only way to the Father? Those who say there are other ways to God, are they really saying that Jesus is not who he says he is?" So the challenge for us today in recognizing that Jesus is the only way to the Father means we may be seen as narrow-minded, even intolerant in today's society. But that does not mean we should shy away from the statement, or worse, reject the truth. We don't have to turn anywhere else. Whatever is going on in our lives, we turn to Jesus. When in doubt, we trust Jesus. When we feel lost, we follow him. When we don't know who to believe, we trust in him. When we are struggling to find purpose in this life, we find it in Jesus. And when life is going well, we give thanks to him. Although Jesus has made it clear that he is the only way to God the Father, the disciples still don't seem to recognize him as such, which is what we're going to turn to look at now. In response to Philip's request, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us," Jesus' response is, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you for such a long time?" As we see so often throughout the Gospels, the disciples don't fully understand what is going on and who Jesus really is. I don't know about you, but I find that a real encouragement when there are times I don't understand a Bible passage or what God wants me to do about a particular challenge. It's okay. The disciples didn't always get it at first either. Over the next few verses, from verse 7, Jesus says virtually the same thing 6 times. He really wants the disciples and us to understand that he and the Father are one, that his presence is the presence of God the Father. From verse 7, he says, "If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." In response to Philip's request to see the Father, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me." The disciples have failed to recognize who Jesus really is. He is Jesus and he is God the Father. If you were here last week, we heard Daniel talk about how Jesus explained that the Son of Man is glorified and God is glorified in him. God the Father and God the Son are one. And then, spoiler alert for next week, verse 20 says, "On that day you will realize that I am in my Father and you are in me and I am in you. And that is through the Holy Spirit. There's a whole other sermon on the Trinity here, but fear not, I'm not going there right now. But what Jesus is making clear is that he and God the Father are one, and that he is also in us through the Holy Spirit. And I'm sure there'll be more on that next week. But back to our passage. Here, Jesus has made it clear that the only way to God the Father is through knowing and accepting Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. And that's the message for us today, and one that is counter to other religions and the secular world around us. It might seem harsh and not fair that the only way to God is through Jesus, but that's what makes us different. That is what sets us apart. We don't earn our way to God's favour through good deeds. We shouldn't pick and choose which bits of our faith we want to follow. We can't reduce Jesus to just being a prophet if we claim to be Christians. To do that denies the foundation of our faith. Instead, if we profess to be Christians, it should encourage us on to do the things that Jesus did. In verse 12, he says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." Jesus knows he will be leaving the earth soon to return to his Father, and so we are called to carry on the work he did. Now, you might be sat there thinking, how on earth will I be able to do even greater things than Jesus did? He healed people. He even raised them from the dead. He died on the cross and rose again for our sins, that we might have eternal life. Surely this is truly mission impossible. If we look through the book of Acts, we see the disciples doing great things, but none of them rose from the dead. So what great things can Jesus be talking about? Well, commentators agree it comes down to evangelism, spreading the good news. Think about it. Jesus himself and his disciples only reached a relatively small proportion of the world's population. But since then, the good news has spread. Millions and millions of people have become Christians and continue to do so today. And that has only happened because people have talked about Jesus, who he is, and why we should follow him. The followers of the way have taken people to the way themselves. Ask yourself, would that have happened if Jesus wasn't the way, the truth, and the life? Think about those amazing Christians in countries where they risk persecution or even death for simply being a Christian, never mind spreading the good news. And yet they continue to follow Jesus and to bring others to know him and accept him as their saviour, because they do recognise who Jesus is. They know he is the only way to God the Father, but also that he is the only one who is the truth and the life. And in knowing that, they know they have a job to do, to let others know about Jesus too. We're fortunate we live in a country where we can be open about our faith. We may get challenged or questioned, but our lives are not under threat because we follow Jesus. So we need to seize opportunities we come across. When Jesus went to the Father, he left us with the task of sharing the gospel, in encouraging others to know Jesus, in helping them to recognize him for who he is. We can do that in various ways, taking opportunities to share our faith with friends and family who aren't Christians, attend or invite someone to the Hope Explored course. And our home groups are a great place to encourage one another to be open about our faith, but to pray for opportunities to share the good news. So as we close, let us remember the powerful truth that Jesus declares in John 14. In a world full of uncertainty and competing voices and spiritual confusion, Jesus doesn't just point to the way, he is the way. He doesn't merely speak truth, he is the truth. He doesn't just give us life, he is the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Let that be our anchor. Let that be our hope. And let that be our call to walk in his way, follow him with conviction, walk in his truth with courage and trust, and live his life with joy. Amen.